It is I, Mike, being joined by everyone's favorite hockey playing actor, and it's criminally in our minds, Toru Masamune. Toru, welcome back, buddy.
Yeah, good to be back. Good to be back.
So before we hop into things, the More Phenomenal Hockey Show is brought to you by Oats Overnight. When we're on the go but still need breakfast, Oats Overnight is the healthy on-the-go breakfast choice for the show and TXHT Hockey. Use our exclusive link in the description on both TXHTHockey.com and in the YouTube show description to get a $20 discount on Oats Overnight today. And note, when we say on the website, I made graphics that you can click on that takes you to Oats Overnight. Click those links or those banners, whatever your platform you're on. So Toru, the season is officially over. The Carolina Hurricanes are the 2026.
I thought the season ended like a month ago. I thought for me, it did.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, the season ended for me in April when the Caps were playing the playoffs.
But for this show, I stuck with it.
Yeah. But no, the Carolina yep. Hurricanes are the 2026 Stanley Cup champions. Because we haven't done an episode in a few weeks, the Montreal Victoires are the 2026 Walter Cup champions. They won right before I left for Canada. So, but yeah. We did do an episode. We did an episode like 2 days after I came back from Canada because of the Stanley Cup final starting on a Tuesday or something. But
yeah.
But
did we do some just before the finals? I can't remember. I know you were asking.
We did some. No, I think it was Starkey and I. Or,
it was probably you and Starkey.
Yeah, for the Cup final. I don't remember. It's all this stuff blurs after a while.
It does. It does.
But, yeah, real quick, I know I'll get a little bit more in depth. Ted Starkey will be joining the show a little bit later on in this episode. But real quick, Toru, just quick thoughts on the Carolina Hurricanes winning the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, you know, it was I thought they would win. I mean, I got to say the first two games. I mean, that's hard. That's got to be something, right? Losing the first two games. Not too many teams, I'm sure, have done that.
They split the first two games. They split.
They split the first two.
They went. It went Vegas, Carolina, Vegas, Carolina for the first four games.
Oh, that's right. What am I thinking of? Yeah, I'm. But, you know what?
Listen, there has been so many sweeps. This
play yeah, it's a lot of sweeps, and I've been following NBA too. So that so my head's just mush right now. But anyway, but I kind of figured they would just. They just need to start playing their game, and you know, Vegas had a remarkable run, but I just thought, you know what? At the end of the day, I think Carolina just seemed to have a more disciplined game, and that often wins finals. So
just much more disciplined game, but also learning that Frederik Andersen injured his knee in Game 2, tried to tough it out in Game 3, didn't really pan out the way that he had hoped, and then got replaced by Brandon Bussey, and then Bussey just played lights out hockey.
How perfect was that? The shutout at the end. I mean, it's just so funny. Those last minute, you figure they had the game, which is exciting, but everybody was cheering for the shutout. I don't care who you were. I mean, unless you're a hardcore Vegas fan, you were just like,
I
hoping
think the cherry
for
on top would have been Carter Hart gets pulled. Brandon Bussey scores a goal.
Scores a goal. Yeah. But it was good, and that was a great story, and they deserve it. It's been a while for them, right?
Yeah, and not only that, but like the big issue that Carolina has always had is like, you know, when they're in the conference final, like they couldn't win a game. I mean, they won one game last year, which was great, but they were annihilated by Florida or Boston. They just couldn't get past that Atlantic Division team this year, taking on Montreal, which both you and I had picked the Canadiens to move on to the
But
Stanley Cup Finals.
as I said, I mean, mine was, wouldn't it be great? And I really, I mean, I got to say that that first game, man, those guys are, I mean, just the skill level is so awesome on that team. They're young right now, and they got a future, and it's really nice, you know, especially Edmonton being out. It was really nice to cheer for sort of my first love, the Canadiens, you know.
Yeah, and so like it was but to have the Hurricanes essentially go 12-1 going into the Cup final was insane. And then obviously we've learned as of we're recording the segment with Toru on the night of June 16th. So earlier today we learned that Vegas will not be re-signing John Tortorella as head coach. He from what was learned, he would they essentially picked up the remainder of his contract that he had with the Philadelphia Flyers, which was going to run till June 30th of this year, so it's literally the end of this month, and that was the game plan essentially all along. And the rumor is that I believe his name is Ryan Craig. He's the head coach of the Henderson Silver Knights, the Golden Knights AHL team. Is expected to become the next head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights.
What was that?
So,
Was that a segue into?
no, I was just making that known about in general. But if you want it to be a segue, we can make it a segue, good sir.
No. I want you to complete where you're
But
going.
I think with Carolina, like that was it was their time. Let's be honest. There's a time when you know it's a team's time. With all the conference final woes that this team has had to finally get through the conference final into the Stanley Cup final, it's kind of like 2018 when the Capitals finally beat the Pittsburgh Penguins, and it was just like you're essentially like coasting into the Stanley Cup final at that point.
Yeah, and how great about Stahl, right? That was
17, like I think they said it's like 17 years between cups or something like that. Because he
So
won in
no, it was
2009.
great. I was really happy to see them win, and I was, you know, it's tough because, you know, those crazy 2-goal leads. I mean, what was that all about?
I mean, Carter, outside of game six, Carter Hart gave up 4 goals a game. Literally 4 goals a game. Like, Carter Hart could not stop a puck.
I mean, that was the goaltend isn't weird that you bring in Bussy, and I don't know, I knew nothing. I think most people had not even heard his name before then,
Well,
and
no,
he
Bussy was originally of the Boston Bruins system, and then this past summer he was signed by the Panthers, and then he was put on waivers for purpose of being sent to the minors, and then
I see.
Carolina claimed him, and then during the season, I think it was Pyotr Kochetkov got injured, which then led or Anderson might have gotten injured too, which led Bussy to be in. And Bussy made a name for himself during the season because he literally won his first 11 games as a starter. And he ended up playing like 46 games, and he was like 39 something. Actually, let me pull it up
Well,
here.
it's so funny when I saw that, I kept on thinking, you know, the whole Ken Dryden, you know, like bring in the young guy, and you really wonder, are they off to be have this amazing career, you know? I mean, hopefully, I mean, he'll have a good career for sure, but
So,
it'd be neat that if he somehow becomes this, you
in the
know.
regular season, Bussy played 39 games. He went 31, 6-2 in 39 games when he came and played. In the playoffs, he only played those 4 games, and he was three, and he won 3 of them. He was 3-1. Because obviously the one game he lost was game three when he came in relief of Frederik Andersen.
Oh, you know, one thing I thought of too would have been nice. Instead of Bussy scoring the empty netter, Stahl. Or just going the empty net would
Yeah,
have been fine.
because then Staal would have scored in all six goal six
Yeah,
games
that,
for
I think
Leafs. That would have been
then
kind
he
of
would just
cool.
sole owner of that. I mean, I think it was the first in 70 years or something like that. Anyway,
Yeah.
but he would have been the guy. He would have been the guy.
And I do agree with the conversation between who should have gotten the Conn Smythe. Is it Jordan Staal? Is it Taylor Hall? I think they got it right with Jordan Staal. I don't think you
Well,
could have.
you got it. No, I think, because I think there has to be a little bit of humanity there. You have to do with the right, the right thing, and I mean, not that. Yeah, I mean, I get
I mean,
it, but
keep in
it's.
mind, in game, literally in game one of the very first playoff game against the Ottawa Senators, Jordan Staal dropped the gloves with Brady Tkachuk. And it set the tone for the entire playoffs for the Hurricanes. That's what a playoff MVP is. It's like, it's not always about scoring all the goals. Like, Taylor Hall had a hell of a playoffs.
Well, and also you don't know what's going on in the locker room too. I mean, I'm guessing as captain, he really stepped up to just galvanize everybody. I'm guessing that the locker room, well, obviously they won. I mean, you can't win a Stanley Cup without a solid locker room. So, there
Yeah.
could be a lot of other things too. But I mean, not that, not to take away from Taylor Hall, but I think it's great. I the whole thing felt good. The whole thing felt good, and I was even my with my Celtics being out early. I was very happy to see the Knicks win the night before, because when it just feels good, the right when the right team won, it's a nice feeling. So yeah, that's what I felt this Stanley Cup. And
So I gotta throw this out there to you. As an Oilers fan, how you
yes,
feeling about seeing Taylor Hall lift the cup before Connor McDavid?
I know it's crazy. Well, more importantly, how does Connor McDavid feel? I mean, that's got to kill him, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everything's so, it's a definitely an S storm, and it feels like that in Oiler country right now. So I don't know, but they've always been like that. They've been this crazy. There's always been drama around them, and maybe they can pull together a cup for McDavid. I don't know. I hope they can. It'd be nice for everybody. I mean, I think even if they got a cup and he left after that, I think people would be feel better. You know what I mean? I think even McDavid too. He's there because he wants to win a cup with Edmonton. But yeah, everything's a little crazy right now. The coach, they still haven't really, fixed
Well,
the
let's talk
goaltending.
about that,
Yeah.
because I know Starkey and I will do a deeper dive on the Carolina Vegas
Yeah.
series. We'd mentioned Tortorella is no longer the head coach of the Vegas Golden
Yeah,
Knights, which is
that would be
something,
interesting, huh? That would be fun.
a lot of people suspected from the beginning was a possibility.
Yeah.
Obviously, the NHL has, at the request of the Players Association, has opened an investigation on disgraced former NHL head coach Mike Babcock. I mean, it's
Yeah.
true, he is disgraced. They're doing an investigation on him from what happened in Columbus in 2023, which prompted him to resign as head coach before even training camp even started, which thrusted Pascal
Wait.
Vincent into the head coaching role for that one season on the spot. Obviously, it's well documented that Vegas would not let the Kings or the Oilers interview Bruce Cassidy
No.
because the reason was is that, oh, it's because it's during the we're focusing on the playoffs right
Playoffs.
now.
Oh, that was yeah, such a
Well,
crockery.
now that the playoffs are done, are you going to grant permission for Bruce Cassidy to interview for those coaching jobs? Well, not for LA because Peter Laviolette took that position, but the open position in Edmonton's still there. The open position in Toronto is still there. But it sounds like because there was a trade done earlier today, Tuesday, between the Philadelphia Flyers and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and John Chayka noted in his press conference to talk to tr about the trade, said that they're a few days away from hiring a head coach. So they're probably closing in on who their guy's going to be. So the question then becomes, now that Tortorella is available, don't think Cassidy is going to be available to
No,
interview
no.
still for the
They
Oilers.
got him for a year, and they're probably gonna just
Which
exercise that option.
Cassidy has been saying on podcasts, I want to coach. This is,
Yeah,
let
I mean,
set me free. But do you see John Tortorella being a better option for the Oilers as head coach rather than Babcock? Because yes, both of them bring their baggage, but Tortorella doesn't carry the same baggage that Mike Babcock has, as you can clearly tell with an investigation being done by the league on Babcock at the request of the Players Association.
Well, I would say he's definitely a better fit than he would be in Toronto, for sure.
Oh, he doesn't want to deal with a rebuild. He's already done that in Philly.
And I think it'd be really interesting just because he's Tortorella. And also one controversy with Babcock is, the NHLPA, and also, which is interesting, I heard that they were only willing to do a investigation. It's kind of weird. They will only do an investigation if he is given an offer. So apparently that means if they're doing one now that he
Well,
has actually received an offer.
it wasn't about an offer. It was, if from everything that I've read and heard, is that the Oilers are serious about considering giving Babcock an offer.
That's what I figured, but I heard, does that mean that they actually made an offer and that invoked the investigation?
I
I
don't
don't
think
know,
so. I don't think
but
so.
you don't think so?
I think what it is that. Where they're at, because Babcock had met with the owner, had met with management,
Oh, I see, because they've already started the
and
process.
had met with some of the
I see.
team leadership, like on
So
the
that was
player
concerned.
side, that the players, even though it also came out that there are players on the team that have reservations and don't really want Babcock to be the coach.
Well, here's.
But because the Oilers went to the Players Association and said, yeah, we want to move forward, that
Yeah.
doesn't mean that an offer has been officially given. It
Okay.
just means that they're interested in proceeding
Okay.
further to
But
see
and they and
if
they've
they're
already taken action. They've already taken action. But
they've
well,
yeah.
the things with Babcock, there are a couple things. First, there are a couple things because most of the fandom doesn't like the idea. But McDavid and Draisaitl, who I'm sure had quite a big say, have signed off on it. Now, one interesting thing
Zach
is,
Hyman did, because Zach Hyman
yeah.
played for Babcock in Toronto.
Well, here's another thing too. Michael Babcock Jr. is the coach, I believe, of the what is what's the it's an
Brantford
OHL team
Bulldogs. It's
that both
the
that
Brantford
Hyman.
Bulldogs. Yeah, that
Yeah,
Zach Hyman's brother owns.
Brantford Bulldogs, and I believe Hyman and his brother, I believe, are owners of that.
They are.
So there's this whole connection. So that and I think he's Hyman's the one that sort of turned on McDavid and Draisaitl to that. Now, I would say from both those guys' point of view, my guess is they don't get it because they're not going to get that treatment. He's going to treat their stars well, so they're not going to get any of the. They're not worried about that, and quite frankly, they don't care. They only care about winning right now. That's all they care
But
about.
the
Now,
problem
one thing
is
they
that they
like,
are going to get that treatment, though. No matter who it is, say it's
no matter who it
Babcock.
is, so they're not, in their minds, they'll say, okay, well, maybe some of the new guys are, have things to worry about, because I think, but the thing is, Babcock's, he's a bit of a bully and a manipulative bully. But they're not going to get that treatment from him.
Yeah,
But
they
one thing
will.
that
Yeah,
I
they would. They would, because
you,
the thing is that he was notorious for not just doing it to the young guys. He was notorious for doing it to the veterans too. The stuff
yeah,
that he has done to Mike Modano, Chris Chelios, Johan Franzen,
true, 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 true.
the stories go on. These are not
So,
kids. These are like full blown veterans, legends, Hall of Famers, and even with Mike Modano, like the fact that Babcock had a bug up his ass about Modano. There's a reason Modano has only played 1,499 career games and not 1,500. It is because of Babcock being a bully towards Modano. Chelios has stories of things that he experienced with Babcock in Detroit and Johan Franzen having little anxiety attacks because of what Babcock did to him.
Well, but
If Babcock comes to Edmonton, he's going to be a hard ass to everybody.
yeah. Well, then that could be, but I would say on, I would say probably, I'm guessing from Drysdale, from their point of view, they're thinking that's what we need because, the Zen approach hasn't worked. I mean, it got him pretty far, so it's kind of weird, but that whole Knobloch Zen approach, touchy feel approach didn't work, and they're thinking, and I can see that sometimes. I mean, now that I say it, is like one of the complaints is you didn't know which Oilers team was going to show up, and they did have kind of motivation problems sometimes. They wouldn't play their hardest
So let's throw
every
this out
game.
there. Let's throw this out there.
Yeah.
Who would you rather have? Tortorella, who just was 2 wins away from winning a Stanley Cup with Vegas and
Yeah.
is known to be a hard ass, no nonsense guy too, and holds people accountable, or Mike Babcock, who you have to deal with, wait for the league to come through with an
Yeah.
investigation on him, hasn't been in the league
Yes. It's
legitimately
19, 2019, I think.
in 7 years.
Yeah. Well,
And hasn't technically really, even it, when he was in the league, hadn't really done anything in almost 20 years.
yeah. No, I agree. And so I would say, on many levels, I'd prefer, Tortorella. I mean, for sure, I would say most of the fan base would absolutely take him. And there's part of me thinking the Oilers might say, this Babcock thing, if we have other options, I think, they might just walk away from it because, first of all, if they went there, it's going to create a lot of furor among the fans for sure. But they're fans. But nonetheless, that would be there, and then there could be this hassle. And quite frankly, Babcock might not pass this thing, or he might check out. He's saying, I'm going to get just like with Columbus, right? He might just where he just retired. It might be the same thing. So for many reasons, but even all things held equal, there's something about Tortorella I think would be so much fun. I think it'd be a fun match. But I agree. I agree. They need a hard ass. Now the
Yeah.
problem is when you're someone's manipulative. That's a different. That's not just being a hard ass. That
Yeah, and that's what Babcock is. Babcock is
that's
more
what he's
manipulative.
manipulative. Yeah, he's like
And
a he's a psych guy. He likes to psych people into.
well,
And
he wants you to fear him, and that's part of the problem. You shouldn't have to like it. There's one saying when I think it was when Scotty Bowman was coach of the Canadiens. It might have been Bowman, it might have been somebody else, but I remember my dad was saying that the quote came from Bob Gainey, and the line was is that you're gonna hate him 364 days of the year, but when you get that Stanley Cup ring, that's the one day you're gonna love him.
Well, the
And but
they're
that's the thing though, Tortorella fits that description a lot better than Mike
with a
Babcock
far less
does.
baggage and also more a lot more recency in the league. So and that was that's amazing. I don't know what it was, but that's pretty amazing that you turned the Vegas was not doing well under Cassidy,
Well,
and we.
they were, but the reason they brought him in, the reason they brought Torts in with 8 games left in the season was just to kind of give him that shot in the arm. Like they were going to make the playoffs. But the reason they did the change the way they did was to give them that
They just need
shot.
a shot here.
Yeah, they needed that shot in the arm. And that's what Tortorella essentially was. And they're kind of hoping that they could have that same success that the 2000 New Jersey Devils had when they fired Robbie Fatorik with like 9 games left in the season and Larry Robinson became the coach and they ended up going on to win the Stanley Cup that year.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of history of this actually working. Like, obviously,
Oh yeah, no, it seems to
the
work. I
Golden Knights
mean,
were 2 wins away. All they had to do was force a game seven, and then this could be a different conversation right now.
yeah.
Because
So
right now we'd be watching game seven if that was the case.
true, true. But I would say that, I think something about the Tortorella is very exciting to me. I don't, Babcock, but he could, at the end of the day, it almost it sounds to me like the the old Patriots dynasty, with Belichick. It's like they always said, it's not fun playing for the team, but you get to win, and then I think that's the only thing I think on. Even the fan base, if they won, and now unfortunately winning does not mean just making the finals anymore. That's the hard
Yeah,
part.
you have to win
But
the championship.
if
You
they
don't
win,
have to
if
win
they
a
win a
game.
cup, then I think everybody would happily take some manipulative, person in there, because I think that's all anybody wants in that town right now. And you think about it, a lot of the teams, I mean, a lot of that whole thing is the nice teams don't, it's kind of the teams that no one likes. Those have had a lot of success recently, the Panthers, right? And even one, even Vegas, it's the teams that they don't like. It's a winning formula these days in the NHL. I don't know. So it seems to me. I mean, you like to see the classy teams win, but I don't know if they necessarily, if that's, we'll put it this way, a lot of these people with sort of, so I don't mind the baggage. Now, Babcock, maybe there's too much, and there's also the fear that somehow he's been out of the league too long. And, there's also, I think they're, I saw the name Daryl Sutter come up, and I'm thinking, you want people that have been kind
Yeah,
of,
Daryl's happily retired on the farm doing what he loves to do. I don't see Daryl Sutter coming back. Like
So.
if you're talking about it, and here's the other thing that we haven't discussed. We knew that there is always kind of conversations about Darnell Nurse
Oh yeah, I think
and
he's out,
about,
right?
yeah. But the thing is though, is that it's not ironic that at the same time that the talk about Mike Babcock potentially becoming the next coach and having to have an investigation done by the league, it's not, I don't find it ironic that this exact same time, Darnell Nurse is technically still part of that players' leadership group, that's when he went to management and said, if this is your guy,
Oh yeah, maybe.
trade
Maybe.
me.
I
I
never
would
thought
not.
about that.
Because the timing of when it came out that, Darnell Nurse has submitted his list of who he'd be willing to waive his no trade clause to around, and it's around this exact same time. I don't, or that's the word I'm looking for. It's not a coincidence, in my opinion, that happened.
I
But
mean, there was talk that, because
I mean,
on some
there was
level.
always talk that like they were going to move on from him,
Yeah,
but
and Darnell Nurse, I can sort of see why he's always a bit of the scapegoat, and I've heard this on broadcast before, and I more I think about it, he never, in these post game interviews, he never seemed that happy, and maybe that's just his nature, but it never seemed like, mainly because I think he was often a scapegoat. And people quite often, they say he's playing great, they'd say, oh, he's terrible, and it's Edmonton, Edmonton fan is hard. That was like with
It's like that into
what's his name?
Toronto.
The,
They chased out Marner.
yeah, yeah. So it could be a number of things, but yeah, the timing is kind of interesting. But in long, answer your question, yeah, I think I mean if they pick Tortorella, I would have a lot of fun with that. And I agree with you that he kind of brings that same X factor of maybe you need a hard ass in there. But without all that extra baggage.
My dad was saying it, the moment that Tortorella got fired by the Flyers. Sorry, my nose wants to sneeze, but I can't sneeze. My dad pretty much said the moment that Tortorella got fired by the Flyers, that he that the team that would be perfect for him is the Edmonton Oilers. It's
Oh, absolutely. No, it'd be a great fit,
but here's
without a doubt.
why. But here's
It'd be a
why.
great fit, without a
It's
doubt.
a veteran team
Yep.
that just needs that push, and that's all that Tortorella needs to do, is he just needs to give them that
Yeah.
push.
So I don't
Because
even know if they're
with
talking
veteran,
to him at all.
but at the same time, the other thing that needs to be factored into this conversation too is the fact that McDavid is going into the first year of that 2-year extension,
Yeah.
this upcoming season. So when you look at this, yeah, they say it's a 2-year plan for with McDavid on the Oilers before he potentially maybe walks and goes elsewhere. You really have to look at this as a one-year
Oh, without a
plan.
doubt. It's a 1 year plan.
Because if they don't do anything again in the 26-27 season, You're probably at this time next year talking about McDavid being wanting to be traded out of
Well,
Edmonton.
I think minimum they're in the finals, minimum, you know.
Yeah, but that's not good enough in that re regard.
But
It's
even
like,
then, that's not good enough, yeah.
yeah, and that's kind of the problem that the Oilers have kind of backed themselves into in that
And they
situation.
need to, I think, you know, I'm guessing there'll be some real wholesale changes in the roster. I don't know. Stan Bowman's such a hard person. I don't know. Like he does some great moves, and I don't know what he's doing half the time, but you know, they got to fix that goalie situation. You know, I guess Markstrom's on the market now.
Yeah, Jacob Markstrom of the Devils. Yeah, there's
Yeah.
talk that he's
So,
being shopped
I,
around. Obviously, the Flyers just traded Samuel Eriksson and Emil Andre to the Toronto Maple Leafs for J Joseph Woll and Simone Benoit. And there's a draft pick involved in there that went to Toronto as well. But so, like, obviously, the Flyers in that case shored up their goaltending with a 1A in Dan Vladar and a 1B in Joseph Woll. You know, for them, so that's one goalie that's now off the board that a lot of teams are looking at in Joseph Woll.
Yeah,
So,
they gotta fix that. And you know, I mean, if they get someone great, and yeah, we'll see. That has to be fixed. And then, you know, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things they need to fix. This
move
offseason will be very
move
critical.
Evan
Yeah.
Bouchard to offense. Evan
Interesting.
Bouchard is not a defenseman.
Well, he yeah.
He is not a defenseman. He is
He
not
is
a
good. He is
defensive.
good. It's nice having him back there. Maybe in the power play, huh? Just
Yeah,
keep him there in the power.
he's, you know, I look at Evan Bouchard the way I've looked at Mike Green, Erik Karlsson, Chris Letang, and all these, like, you know, Quinn Hughes. They're not defensemen. They're
Yeah.
forwards. They're
So
forwards who are
crazy
on
because.
defense because they focus more on their offensive output and they're not
Oh.
usually the most defensively reliable.
Oh,
And
absolutely.
Evan Bouchard makes a lot of mistakes in
Oh
his
yeah,
own
he's
zone.
a, because you know, sometimes when they're okay on defense, but they're offensive defensemen, I think that he just likes being back in the blue line because he can unload his shot, you know
Yeah,
what I
well,
mean?
that's nice. You know,
You
if you're
know, but
costing the team in your own zone, what good does that
yeah.
do for you?
That's funny. I don't even know. I don't know. I've never heard that discussed. I've never. I don't know if
Oh, it's
I
not
has he ever
something that's
played?
being discussed. That's just something I would do.
Okay, that's
Like I
interesting.
have literally of teams that I've captained. Like I have literally taken people who are go, I'm a defenseman, and I've literally watched them play and go, you're not a defenseman, you're a forward. And then I would
Yeah.
put them on forward and they'd have better success.
Well, you know,
And
and that's another
that's
thing.
just because I watch how somebody plays
Yeah,
and then I
yeah.
go, I don't use analytics. I watch how they actually play. And
Well,
then I
you know,
say, this is what you'd be able to do a lot better if you're in this position.
wait. It's like that whole thing. Remember those few games where they brought Paul Coffey back and they really locked down in defense and they won those games and they're good and they just don't aren't a defensively minded team, which is not good, especially when you have a good goaltender, you know. So,
Yeah, I think,
hopefully.
yeah, that's the other factor. It's like you can't keep calling Paul Coffey back to the bench every time the team is, you know, crapping the bed defensively.
Yeah.
You know,
So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to be fixed, but yeah, the coach is obviously a big priority. And yeah, I guess if you're asking me straight up, yeah, I would I and I'm sure most of Oilers be ecstatic if they pick John Tortorella.
yeah.
You know, I'm quite sure that would be the response. I don't know how management feels. I haven't even heard any talks about it, and I don't know
Well, I
how.
mean, being how the news just came out Tuesday morning about, you know, Tortorella, you know, not being renewed and he's not going to be on the coaching staff anymore. It's like, you know, and
And
this
I don't
is
think
like,
they don't have the same hold as they do on Bruce Cassidy. So,
yeah,
I
Cassidy, they
and
have a year, and then whereas Tortorella, his contract literally expires June 30th.
you know, and I can see him wanting to coach Edmonton. You know, I can see, you know. So we'll see. We'll see what the
Some
next few days bring. But
would say Vegas was the tryout for Edmonton, if that's the
yeah,
case.
yeah, yeah. And I would say that everybody on the fan end. Which of which I would firmly put myself on that side. would say great, would be very happy and really excited. I don't know what happened. You know, I don't, I you know, it's interesting too with the Zach Hyman connection. You really wonder how much it is, you know, because
Well, Hyman,
mean,
keep
we're
in
like, we're,
mind, Hyman played for Babcock in Toronto.
yeah, true,
And he
true.
never had issues with Babcock when he was in Toronto specifically.
And
So
he
it's
probably
like,
knows what Babcock could do for the team. So, you know, quite frankly, if Babcock becomes coach, I mean, I'm not going to be one of these people that, you know, I think there may be problems, but at the same time, you know, if he gets you a cup, who cares? You know, because I and you know, if and even there's a whole thing of, is it about being happy or is it about winning, you know, in terms of the team? And I'd say any of the people in the Patriots dynasty would not trade, would say, no, I'm so glad Belichick was not this nice. I mean, he is actually a nice guy on certain levels, but not the way he coached. If you play for him, life was not good, you know. And so, but they won. And I'm thinking, I think most people would, most athletes are quite competitive. I think they would trade that. And you know, I think in general, right? I mean, anything we do, right? I mean, sometimes we have people that push us and we're not happy while we're there. But then if they get us to a result that we couldn't have otherwise reached, all is forgiven, I feel. So I don't know enough about, you know, I know what he's done and it does sound good. And he, but, you know, and I'm not one of these people change. I don't think people really do change. But, if that happened, I would say, all right, well, let's see what happens. It's not like he sucks, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, he has potential to
Well,
be a great coach.
Babcock, he has one Stanley Cup with the Red Wings, which was 2008,
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
which was literally 18 years ago.
Yeah.
He, since winning that Stanley Cup, he's been to the Cup final one additional time, which was the next year in 2009, which they lost to Pittsburgh, which was
Yeah.
the rematch that year from the previous year. And he hasn't been back since.
Yeah.
He
So.
hasn't been back since. He didn't really do much in Toronto, you know, but at the same time, when you have in like 2008, essentially a Hall of Fame roster
Yeah, it
with like
was.
Nick Lidstrom, Henrik Zetterberg, Pavel Datsyuk, I think Tomas Holmstrom might have still been playing. No, it might, I think it was Johan Franzen was the
Yeah.
big heavy at that point. I think Holmstrom was retired by then. But you still got all these guys who were like part of those big cup years for Detroit, you know,
Yeah.
and everything. And so it's like, so how much is it really like Lidstrom and Zetterberg and Datsyuk, and how much it was that really Babcock in a way?
Well, that's all. That's always the question. I think quite often it is the players. I don't think any great coach can ever bring a less than an exceptional roster to the cup. I don't think that can be done. But you know, and plus there's the fear that hockey has changed a lot. It looks a lot different to me than when I was growing up. I mean,
Oh,
I watched the game.
I know my dad grumbles a lot, and
Yeah,
I
it's
know you
different.
and my dad are just a couple years apart from each other.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, we'll see, but you know, they got to get a coach and they got to get one that gives them a shot at winning. So, you know, but I would love to see Tortorella, I guess, into as if to answer your question.
If I
Tortorella,
could.
Tortorella and maybe Markstrom. I'd be happy to, if somehow those two folks were on the team next year.
So, last thing I want to talk to you about is another thing that came out today, Tuesday, was an announcement, a joint announcement between Sportsnet and CBC up in Canada. Sportsnet is obviously going into the new TV contract with the National Hockey League. They did not do a subleasing contract with CBC, which means Hockey Night in Canada, as we know it, is officially done. Which is a shame because Hockey Night in Canada is a staple for the last, like, since 1952, so 74 years. And I want to put this out there. I don't think this is the reason, but the timing is very interesting. Game six, Hockey Night in Canada feed, they did a like a parody of The Hangover, and Ron McLean, who apparently is public enemy number one in Canada because of Don Cherry and how Don Cherry got fired from Hockey Night in Canada, which, by the way, I was fully in support of that because Don Cherry was kind of past his prime and didn't really need to be on the TV anymore. Come at me, I dare you. But he made a reference to, like, because Philip Pritchard, the keeper of the cup, was shown as passed out with the Stanley Cup on a couch with him. And Ron McLean had mentioned roofies, which, if anyone knows what that is essentially a date rape drug.
Wow.
And later in the broadcast of Game Six, he made an apology for using that because obviously we all know about the Canadian World Junior 2018 sexual assault trial that involved one Carter Hart of the Vegas Golden Knights. So it's a very sensitive topic, as it should be. And I just find the timing a little interesting of this announcement between CBC and Sportsnet saying that the CBC will no longer be carrying NHL hockey, which ends Hockey Night in Canada, which in a way possibly puts Ron McLean into retirement. As somebody who grew up in Canada, what does Hockey Night in Canada mean to you?
Well, I mean, and I'm sure it's not alone. I mean, I just watch it religiously. It's on Wednesday night too. It's Wednesday and Saturday. And this is going back to like Bill Foster Hewitt. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? McFarlane, all those people, and it's funny because you don't hear those kind of voices anymore, and it's funny when I see them see replays. Picture quality is so awful. It's amazing how glued I was to this. I mean, it's almost like wow. It looks like it was a long time ago, but it looks like wow. I can't believe I watched this. Because it seemed clear as day when I was watching it, but again, this is sort of just pre-Oilers, and so it's like the Canadians were my team, and that was during really a remarkable era. I mean, that whole Bowman, Scotty Bowman, Stan's dad, but it was really quite remarkable, and I don't know. So for me, it was absolutely a ritual that went on really through my whole childhood. But I kind of feel like it wasn't just me. I think it was just part of the culture there. And I think one thing that's interesting, and I believe this is the interesting thing what will happen, because I know CBC owns the rights to the name. And I kind of think Sportsnet will now it's going to become this weird streaming thing, which is annoying. I don't know about you, but I find what like I watch NHL on Hulu. So, but you don't know what the game's going to be on there. And sometimes I don't check and they think, oh, it's not, and I have to shuffle around and then, oh, it showed up on TNT. It's just really annoying not to have it in one place. And I think it's easier to watch a hockey game when you can just DVR it to begin with. So there are a lot of things that Sportsnet might continue, but I don't think they own the name. But it'll be interesting to see if they
Now,
can
see,
somehow
you are
get.
right. CBC does own the name Hockey
Yeah,
Night
it'll
in
be interesting to
Canada.
see if they get their hands on that and they just do a streaming version on Amazon or something like that
Well, the interesting thing is
of
that
Hockey Night.
Amazon had 2 years. Their thing was 2 years. The friend and Sportsnet still has not come to a streaming deal with Amazon to renew
Yeah.
that contract. They haven't renewed a French feed TV contract
Yeah.
yet either. So there's a few other
And,
things
but
that I guess
here's
Sportsnet needs to
one
do.
and well here's one of the significant things, and this is I don't think people are aware of it, how the level of how important hockey is to everybody up there, mainly because there's not a whole lot else. I mean, I guess they got the Raptors, they got the X, they got the
The
few
Blue Jays.
Blue Jays, they got, well, actually, yeah, they do have the Blue Jays, just it's hockey is everything. And like me, who was terrible at it, but I'm still freaking playing on the weekends, you know, and I'll play for the next 20 years, you know, it's almost like it's just in people's blood. And I think part of that is because CBC, I don't know how it works up in Canada. You can still get it on Rabbit Ears somewhere up in Yellowknife, but I believe they don't have that same rule here where nothing goes over the airwaves. And I think you can actually watch CBC, I believe, for absolutely free through Rabbit Ears. I believe. I might be wrong at that. It might be
Well,
digital.
antenna is coming back, but it's digital antenna because I know the
Oh,
Golden
digital.
Knights, I think the Mammoth,
Well,
I think
in
the
any case,
Battlestars, I think some of them are using, I think Scripps has
but
a digital antenna service, so you can get those type of channels over those waves that you can't
but
get.
the point is, you can be anybody in Canada, like in the most random place in the middle of nowhere. You can watch Hockey Night in Canada, and now it's sort of like, oh, do you have that streaming service? Are you an Amazon subscriber? Are you a Sportsnet subscriber? And I've tried to subscribe. Well, I like the games, and it just kills me that they're all spread out because now I'll go and there's so often I think, okay, oh, I it's these they say put this on your favorites. I'm going, no, I want to watch the game. I don't want to, you know, whatever. And so it went away from something that someone can say, hey, you know, oh, hey, you hear the games on on Hockey Night in Canada, hey, you know, let's go watch it. And then you just find somewhere and you can just get it no matter who you are. You just have, you know, some form of a TV. Don't even need a computer. And that's so everybody in Canada just could watch it. And that's why everybody did tune in. Now, I don't know. I know we're obviously in a much different world now, but I'm wondering if somehow that will, you know, affect, you know, the interest in the sport. I don't know. Like, I hate to think that somehow it's not, like right now it's everything.
It's not just going to be hockey that's affected. It's all the sports that are going to be affected because, like, look at the NFL. The NFL's on YouTube, Amazon, Peacock, Fox. You know, it's like, and then it's like, you know, baseball has on a bunch of things, and the NBA is on a bunch of
And
things, the
then,
NHL is on a bunch of things. It's all the sports that are being
yeah,
affected by this. It's stupid.
yeah, you may be right, and that's maybe that's just the world we're living in now. But I kind of feel like the fact that I just think no matter who you were, you could just tune in and, you know, CB, you know, I guess things
I
move
mean, let me
on.
throw this out there. Look at WWE. WWE,
Okay.
Monday Night Raw is on Netflix. SmackDown is on USA Network.
Okay.
NXT is on CW. All the PLEs, formerly known as pay-per-views, are on ESPN Unlimited. And then you have Saturday night's main event on Peacock. You have AAA wrestling, which is 50, I think it's like 51% owned by WWE or something like that on
Okay.
YouTube. It's like there's like I just listed like six things and it's like six different places that you have to be able to watch it. And
And I hate it unless you
it's
do
too much. It's too
unless you do
much.
your research, you don't know. Like you have to go. Now I have to check. Is it gonna be on? Is it on in my area? Do I have access to this? And I said, do I have to freaking subscribe to this in order to just watch this game? You know. And so that it's become really increasingly hard. But that's one thing I feel bad about is whatever happens within, say, Sportsnet buys the name
Well,
Hockey Night in
Sportsnet will.
Canada.
Well, I don't think they're going to buy the name Hockey Night
You
Canada.
don't think
From what
so?
it sounds like from the joint press release, is that Sportsnet is just going to do their own thing. Like they'll still have hockey on Saturday nights, like always. It's just not going to be Hockey Night in Canada. It's going to be just something else, or it's just going to be another Saturday. It's just going to be another regular night in the NHL. Because
And
like
so,
because I started watching Hockey Night in Canada down here in the States. I mean, obviously I know you're in Los Angeles, I'm in Maryland, but like probably when I started watching Hockey Night in Canada, it was probably like in the early mid-2000s when we had NHL Center Ice and we would get the Hockey Night in Canada feed.
yeah.
And so my dad and I would always make a point to watch the Hockey Night in Canada
It's
feed
Saturday
because,
night, right?
yeah, on Saturday nights. And because we wanted to see, back when it was actually good. I mean, I'm sorry, but the latter years, of Coach's Corner was not the greatest thing. Like, you would get a little nugget here and there, and then it was just all nonsense from Don Cherry. That's why I also was fine with him being fired. Again, come at me, I dare you. But like the early years when we saw it, like, yeah, Coach's Corner was pretty good. Hockey Hot Stove, which eventually became 32 Thoughts, which then eventually became Hockey Headline or Saturday Headlines, during the second intermission. Like, that was a segment that my dad and I loved the most, was Hockey Hot Stove, which then became 32 Thoughts, which then became, Saturday Headlines. Because that's like the insider stuff. That's like when you're like learning more, like, oh, what's being talked about behind the scenes, what trades could be happening, what signings could be happening, what, this and that. And it was like that's the stuff that was like, oh, I really like this. That was like the stuff that my dad and I really loved watching, was the second intermission stuff. And then when Brian Burke used to do Hockey Night in Canada, him having Burkey's Corner, like, I guess, on the late night games, like the 10 o'clock games. It's like, yeah, man, it's like, we don't want to stay up that late, but it's freaking Brian Burke, man. But yeah,
It's
it's kind of sad.
definitely an end of an era, and and I'll admit that. I mean, I'm fully, I didn't, I wasn't, it wasn't quite, it didn't become the ritual. I just want to watch games, and so I watch it through Hulu. I guess that's ESPN Plus, I guess,
Yeah, that's the
through via
ESPN Plus
Hulu.
one. Yeah, I mean,
And that's what I watch, and
I catch
sometimes,
games via Hulu too,
and
so.
I gotta say, I admit, I do enjoy the TNT broadcasts. I
I
mean,
will say the TNT broadcast is a lot better than the ESPN slash ABC presentation, because, one, no disrespect to Sean McDonough, he does a good job, but you're an NFL guy calling hockey. You need to call the game. We don't need all these useless facts and stories when the action is being played. It's not like the NFL where there's like 65 minutes of downtime and you just got to fill the air. No, there's action going on nonstop in the NHL. You need to actually call the game and not just like, the worst thing that you can do is be sharing some pointless story and then a goal gets scored. Like, the guys on ESPN don't even notice if a guy is like missing from the bench or something for a long period of time. And it's like Ray Ferraro. I like Ray. I think Ray's does a good job. I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. He played in the league for several years. But like, come on, Ray. You're right in between the benches. How do you not notice and say, hey, so and so is missing from the bench? It's like, that's part of the job of being between the benches, is to notate that stuff. Like when Brian Boucher is between the benches for
That's why they
TNT,
stick you there.
he's going, hey guys, just a heads up, so and so is missing from the so and so bench, and it's been a while since he's been there. And that stuff is important for the feed. Like, I kind of blame Mike Emmerich for the pointless stories and facts and stuff like that, and Pierre Maguire for, well, he's just ego boosting himself because he wants to make it about him, about how he knows about how this player played at this high school or this bantam league or this peewee league. It's like, nobody cares, Pierre. Like, we care about, it's like, okay, yeah, it's a stop to play. Yeah, share the thing about when the guy played in junior or whatever. But then, like, when the game's going on, shut up or just bring up something important about the actual game itself.
You ever see the old, like, I think they have them on they have them on my Hulu, the old,
Oh, like
like,
the old Stanley
70s
Cup games.
broadcasts of Hockey Night in Canada. Those were voice, those were like crazy. I mean, you're talking about like something that's just part of the game, I don't know, and just everything about it, like the play by play was just was awesome,
Yeah,
but yeah, I'll definitely have to watch, I'll have to dig up some old I kind of missed the whole section in the middle there, so I should probably watch. When did you say you started watching them? 80s, you said?
No, I
I
started
mean,
watching
I'm
them
not
recently.
80s.
No,
2000.
mid to late, like early mid 2000s whenever
And it
we
was good
got,
then. It was good. I think that's a section I wasn't really so. I'll definitely watch some old broadcasts. Maybe I'll have to watch old Oilers games.
I mean, keep in mind, like one of the best, I mean, that was also the era of, I think they're more out west, but Jim Houston with Craig Simpson on Hockey Night in Canada. Like, dude, those guys were freaking amazing.
Well, it was one thing about all that Hockey Night in Canada, it was definitely bigger than life, which I don't now. It's sort of like, let's cover the game, it's okay. But there it was sort of an event. I kind of felt like that, not just the game, but the show was an event, you know. And I just feel like that's being lost a little. That, you know, that's the part I think it will be kind of sad if that goes away.
Yeah.
Well, it probably will. Let's face it, it's already gone away. But I don't know what they'll do with the new incarnation, but I don't think it'll ever be like the great.
Yeah, it's it, there's too much fluff, one would say. And you know, Hockey Night in Canada didn't need the fluff. They gave you a really good analysis intermission. They gave you a really good headlines intermission that you can get that insider type information.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
that's all you needed, along with good play-by-play and color commentary that just called the freaking game.
Yeah, where you're not telling stories, you're calling the game and you're locked in on the game every second, and you're bringing all your audience with you. I'm totally with you on that. So, you know, end of an era, I guess, you know, things change. I guess that's the way it is. So,
And if anyone to ask the question too, it's you because you grew up in Canada, you know?
oh, yeah, no, it
So
was
it's like,
my sister still makes fun of me because, man, that was like everything had to stop. It was like, and it was on Wednesday nights as well. Everything had to stop, and so I had my, I had my stick, and I was making plays while watching this in the living room. So,
what hockey loving kid didn't do that? I remember
yeah.
one time my dad stepped away and I had like the little toy stick, you know, like with the
Yeah,
two
yeah, yeah, yeah.
logos on it and everything that you
Yeah.
would buy at the arena. And I remember like Dale Hunter dropped his stick and then he went to pick it up and I was like, "Hey dad, you missed it. Dale Hunter dropped his stick." And I imitated Dale Hunter picking up the stick and he just like, "Uh-huh, that's nice. Go back and watch the game too." And I was like, and now that one was like early mid 90s, you know, like, or no, actually that would be definitely early 90s, because yeah, because that would be like five or
And
six, maybe 7 years old then.
so I'm thinking, what do they all say? Don't something to the effect of, don't be sad it's over, just be, glad that you experienced it. And maybe there's a bit of that because, I feel, as I was saying, in Canada especially, like, you felt bad for the kids now, because that was a huge part of my, in fact, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I watch religiously. Probably a few things, but that's the only thing that really comes to mind that was okay, I have to watch this. I'm sure there were some Saturday morning cartoons or something, but nothing like that where it's like, okay, everything's got to stop. All right, family, everything's got to stop. Hockey Night in Canada is beginning. Plus there's no DVR. You couldn't record it in, so it's like nothing could happen during
Yeah,
that.
it wasn't until like what the 80s and the 90s when with VHS tapes that you could start like
But there
recording the
was
games on
that was
VHS.
like, if I miss any of this, I will never get to see this again. But my sister still gives me a hard time about that because, man, the whole everything had to come to a dead stop whenever that came on. So it was a great memory, but I'm thinking I'm glad I got to experience it. And yeah, I saw some really great games on, really amazing games on that show. So
Yeah.
sad to see it go, but I guess it's business. I was saying that to someone else. It's like, seems like the whole notion these days is just not, what's the right thing to do. Is just doesn't figure into business at all. It never did in a big way, but now it is sort of like, if the numbers don't add up, we're moving on, that kind of thing. It seems like that's the way the world is right now. It's like, it's all entertainment for sure, right? It's all, and I'm not, I'm all for profit. I like money as like the next guy, and I get that,
Hey, I got
but
bills to pay.
yeah, I got,
You
yeah, we all do. Yeah. So I get that, but I kind of feel like the whole idea of like, Well, let's do this and maybe not make as much as we could have, and whatever concessions CBC they need to make for CBC. It just seems like, if you're in that position, that's what you should do. But I was saying that to someone else. It's like, I just don't think appropriate, it really figures into business anymore. I don't think that's something that and maybe it's always been that way, but it feels very much like that to me now. It's like the whole idea of what's right and what is better for the society, what is at large, is doesn't seem to figure into it. And this is sort of another manifestation of this. But that's the way it is. But I'm glad I saw all those games. It'd be interesting to add them up, but I'm glad I saw those games that I did, because it really, I think, not just was part of my childhood, I think it inspired me. And I'm sure I would not have been an actor, because I sure as hell knew I couldn't be a hockey player. But I think it led me to that sort of desire for a passion, passion and all that stuff. I think just really inspired me as a kid. So, it's good stuff. But yeah, sad's gone. But I guess that one of the good news is hockey's still going to be played. We just have to make sure we check
We
where
just
it's
have to.
actually, where we can actually watch it, and whether we've subscribed to yet another streaming service so we can watch just one game. I hate that when you have to subscribe. There are a couple of things where, if you just want to watch this one game, there's a way you can watch a single guy. I think, why can't I just subscribe to one? I'll pay you your subscription
Well,
and see.
that's what VPNs are for.
Oh, yeah. I should think about that.
Because one thing that people do
I should
over
think
here,
about that.
something that people do over here in the States is for WWE, is because like the things that I mentioned, like NXT, the premium live events, SmackDown, Saturday Night's Main Event, all those are on Netflix internationally, along with Monday Night Raw. So people will get a VPN and would VPN into another country to just watch all of it in one place.
Well, it's like when I went on my sailing trip, is we had the VPN on the boat, and to all these companies' knowledge, we never left the country, even though we were out in the middle of the sea. So I agree. I should probably look into that, but because that's annoying. There's so many times I've gone, great, I'm all ready, and I go, and they said, oh, it cannot be played for whatever reasons, and it's either because it's some blackout, but 9 times out of 10, it's because it's on somewhere else that I don't
I
know. It's correct.
have one streaming service package, and it's through my mom, and that's the Hulu, Disney Plus,
Disney
ESPN
ESPN Plus.
Plus
Yeah, that's what I
package.
watch.
But because we still have cable here at home, which is the way
Oh,
it
okay.
should be, we have ESPN Unlimited for free for now through our cable package.
And then
So for like
and you
so,
get T and you get TNT on there as well, so
well TNT on cable, yeah.
yeah, on cable, so you have access to
Yeah,
most of them
I
there.
still have access technically to everything.
But you know what I hate is when I don't have time to see the game live, and I come back and I don't find out till later that there's no way in hell I can ever watch this
Well,
game.
I've always gone with the mindset of if I'm not able to watch it live, then just move on
Come
to
to
the
that.
next, just move on to the next one. So,
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know.
especially on
I'm
an especially on a what will now become an 84 game season schedule for the regular
oh,
season. So,
crazy.
but we have chatted for a very long time.
Yes. But remember I said I since I checked out after the Oilers left, I'd have nothing to say, but obviously I can talk hockey with you all
And for
night.
those who don't know, this was supposed to be a 30-minute segment with
Yeah.
Toru and I, and we've been going for almost an
You
hour. We started around
get us talking hockey, and then
we started around 10, and it's almost 11 o'clock at night Eastern time on Tuesday, June 16th. So with that, Toru, where can the people find you on social media, and what projects do you have coming out that you can talk about? That's the key sentiment right there, everybody. What can he talk about?
let's see. Well, it's Instagram, my name at Toru Masamune, and then it's probably the best place. And I will be at selected dates during Comic Con at the end of the July, something like that, end of July.
I think San Diego's at the end of July.
Yeah, and then and then there's another thing in the area, geeking out. I had sorry, I should have been better prepared for this, geeking out, something like that. That's in the LA area, and then I have Power Morphicon on end of August, and then
To say Power Morphicon real quick.
Power Morphicon. What did I say?
Because I
Oh, there you
can't
go.
be there. Because I
Wow.
can't be there. For the record,
And
Power
hey, and
Morphicon
just so
is.
you know, and I'll
And,
keep you posted on
hold,
this.
but real quick, for the record, Power Morphicon is the reason why Toru and I are actually
That's
friends.
right. Yeah,
So
you're wearing
that's why
that
it's
full jersey.
heartbreaking to me that I can't be there this
I
year.
know. Well, you'll be missed. You'll be missed. But and I'll keep you posted on this. Sometime in 27, apparently, I just got a message from my agent that I'm booked for a weekend in Peoria, Illinois. I don't know when it is. Sometime in 27. I said, because I was worried about conflicts. I'm doing a lot of other things over the summer. And she goes, "Oh no, it's not till next year." And so, but I'm very excited. I've never been to Peoria, and I've heard, with elections, what is Peoria thinking? Well, I will find out what they think of Ninja Turtles out there. So, looking forward to that.
Well, keep in mind, I do work in guest relations for some conventions out here on the East Coast. So who knows? Maybe I can, we can eventually get you out here to the DC
Yeah.
Baltimore area for
Oh, I would
for a
love that. Yeah, I
convention.
would. I have not been to DC forever, and I believe I think I have some friends out there. But anyway, I mean, yeah, DC would be awesome. But yeah, but off the top of my head, those are the conventions. So I got a Criminal Minds thing I just shot, and I'm work. Oh, here's another interesting thing too. I'm working on this crazy project. It's actually. It's a voice thing, but it's for this thing called Whispers, and it's by Pickford AI. But it's crazy. Like I literally, they'll pay me each year. This thing goes, like I've been paid up front for 3 years or whatever. But I just went in for an hour and did this AI recording of voice stuff, and created this character. And we go, there's this whole interactive thing. It's really insane, and the characters are generated in real time, but it's actually it feels very much like the character that I worked on. So I don't feel like, oh, they're ripping me off. But I'm paid, and it's renegotiated after 3 years or something like that. I get paid for it, but I don't know if I'll ever have to go in the booth again. So anyway, it's called Whispers. I know it. I have a screening in Mountain View, California, on July 8th. And there are a number of other ones. But if you want to look at. Oh, geez, I don't know what you look up. I guess look, it's Whispers Pickford AI. I guess maybe you can find
It's
them somewhere.
on the Instagram of
Oh, it's on the Instagram.
Toro
Yeah, you can figure it out. You're all smart out there, so you can figure it out. But there are screenings throughout. I'm not gonna be at every one, obviously, but I think they just had a sold out event in New York. But so you probably are better off. I should find out what the link is for that. But they're probably better sources than me. But I will be in Mountain View on July 8th, and it's gonna be fun. So if you can make it to that, come to that. So
I'm apologizing in advance. I can't get out to that.
that's okay. It's okay.
But you know what my life situation's been like for the
Ah,
last
absolutely.
like almost 16 months now.
That's right. That's right. No,
So.
no. That I'll try and I'll talk him into having a screening out in DC.
And then you coming out here for it. So.
Yeah. I'll come out if it's in DC, and then maybe you can hook me up with a show in the meantime, on the same weekend, and that'll be a perfect perfect storm.
For me, you can find me on social media. I know I said, oh, Starkey will be, we're going to do Starkey in a separate episode now because of the fact that we've gone for like an
But no,
hour.
that's why I said now they can hear the part of the show that has substance in
Yeah, there
it.
will be a part two. Part two will feature Ted Starkey.
This is from someone who actually knows what they're talking about.
You could follow me on social media at the Lindenbaum 75 on all the social medias and Twitch, and of course on the show or TXHT at TXHT underscore hockey, and then TXHTHockey.com for all the other stuff that happens. Please note, this is not necessarily a programming note. This is just a TXHT note. Now that the Stanley Cup has been awarded, and once part two of Ted Starkey has been released, I am officially going into off-season mode. I need a break. There will be no draft coverage. There will be no real major free agency coverage. You may see articles come out on the website if the Capitals do something or if there's some major blockbuster thing. But stay tuned to the TXHT Twitter and Instagram specifically, because we will be reposting, retweeting all the major news on those social media outlets. But we just won't be putting in a lot of work unless we deem it necessary to have to put something out for it, which will most likely be about the Capitals. So with that, until next time, which will be part two of Ted Starkey, we will see you on the ice.